Olson. September 29th, 1907. Typed. Dear brother, I would be glad to sit down with you this morning and have a long talk, but as that is impossible, I will write to you some things I wish to say. We are now witnessing the results of a failure on the part of some to walk in the light that God has sent to His people. When Elder Jones took his stand for the reopening of the Battle Creek College, I was shown the danger of his taking such a stand, and the results that would follow. It came to pass as I foresaw. Elder Jones has taken his position against the testimonies and is leading souls away with him. Satan has gained that which he planned for, and Elder Jones, in walking in opposition to the messages of the Spirit of God, has brought loss to his own soul. We cannot afford to walk carelessly, Brother Olson. We must walk in the light, as Christ is in the light. Then our words and works will reflect light to others. Jones has walked in the sparks of his own kindling, and time has revealed that he has walked in a false light. When the question of high wages came up in the Review and Herald Board, there were those who determined to carry out their own selfish plans. Frank Belden's voice was heard long and loud until he gained his end. Satan was seeking to lead Frank Belden into strange paths. Greed and selfishness were working to ruin his soul. He yielded to this influence. His disposition became perverted, and self-will and self-exaltation gained the supremacy. Yet all this need not have been if the light God had given regarding wages had been faithfully followed. Dr. Kellogg followed his own way instead of the way of the Lord. He sought to usurp authority and made unrighteous lawyers his dependents in carrying out his own mind and will. Thousands of dollars were lost to the cause of God, and Dr. Kellogg was also made to suffer. Sooner or later, all who depart from the laws of God, in order to gain some personal advantage, will be caught in the trap that Satan has laid for them. By the true follower of Christ, every business transaction will be regarded as a part of his religion, just as prayer is a part of his religion. The study of the Scriptures will be considered a part of his religion, for by this he learns his orders. In the light of the Scriptures, man regards himself as God's servant, employed to do his will. Sometimes he finds these orders opposed to that which he would choose, were the decision left to him. But he does not find fault with his work because of this. And as he seeks to carry out the will of the Master, angels of God are with him, to be his defense against the wiles of Satan. The Word of God is to be our daily teacher. This is the only true source of comfort in all our trials, the only true source of encouragement and instruction in our labors. The Christian is to stand as a representative of the principles of heaven. He is bound by sacred obligations to represent the truth in its virtue and loveliness. Gentleness and kindness and strict truthfulness should mark his words and actions. Consecrated to God, set apart to his service, he will always honor his religious faith. No thread of selfishness is to be woven into the character. We are to educate ourselves to reveal the Spirit of God in all our life work. The Spirit of God will never lead the steps of God's children astray. Through the power that the Holy Spirit imparts, we may weed out from our lives every questionable thing. If we will come out of the darkness with which a lack of faith enshrouds the soul, and place ourselves where the clear shining of the light of God's Word can fall fully upon us, we shall be led step by step in the path that leads to holiness. We all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. We need to understand that the gospel fully reveals the glory of the Lord. It is the mirror that reveals the character of God to the converted soul. The likeness of God is revealed in the perfect character of His Son, that we may understand what it means to be made in the image of God, and what we may become if by constantly beholding we allow ourselves to be changed from glory to glory. Verse 18. The love, the honor, and perfection revealed in the gospel is a revelation to man of the character of God. We who have had such high privileges, such great light, will have no excuse if we do not understand the kind of character that God would have us form. The justice and goodness and benevolence that were revealed in the character of Christ are to be repeated in those who accept the privileges of the gospel. By a study of the Word, we are to see Him as He is, and, charmed with the view of His divine perfection, we are to be changed into the same image. It is our privilege, by an earnest study of the Word, to learn wherein we are not revealing the principle of that Word in our daily lives. And as the mirror reveals to us our defects, we are to seek by earnest prayer and faith to put them away and come up to the standard that is given us. As we strive to meet the perfection that God desires for us, insensibly to us, the image of God will be revealed in words and works and spirit. The human will become molded to the divine. Christ's nature will be revealed in human nature. The words will become gentle and courteous, the ways kind and helpful. Though we are unconscious largely of the change, yet the transformation is being surely wrought. Beholding day by day the glory of the Lord, we are molded into conformity to His Spirit and His will.